Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
105.3 FM HD2, Kenner, New Orleans. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. All we do is talk about food and restaurants and cooking and wine and everything. And every year at this time, I write a poem that talks about a lot of the people that came in and out of my life and your life, too, for that matter, because it's often the same people. But that goes on until the 11th day of Christmas, and then it stops. That's the 12 days of Christmas. I don't know where the 12th one is, probably because for the same reason that it was only...
It's King's Day, right?
It's King's Day, yeah. That's it. Okay, so anyway... I did manage to write this, and I'm going to plague you with it just one more time.
What day is it that we're on?
Okay, it's on the first day of
Christmas.
We're probably
on
I'd like
sixth
to cook
day
for
of
you.
Christmas right now.
A filet duck on dewy gumbo. On the second day of Christmas, I'd like to poach for you two eggs sardou. On the third day of Christmas, I'll sugar dust for you three beignets. On the fourth day of Christmas, I'd like to cut for you half a muffaletta. On the fifth day of Christmas, I'd like to fry for you five soft-shell crabs. On the sixth day of Christmas, I'd like to roast for you six char-grilled oysters. On the seventh day of Christmas, I'd like to flame for you seven bananas Foster. On the eighth day of Christmas, I'd like to grill for you eight links of sausage. On the ninth day of Christmas, I'd like to steam for you nine cups of rice. On the tenth day of Christmas, I'd slow simmer for you 10 cups of red beans. And finally, on the 11th day of Christmas, I'll barbecue for you 11 jumbo shrimp. And then by that time, apparently the kings have moved on. So there you are, and I'm sorry to have plagued you with that over the mark.
Well, you know, that's what they get for not calling. 260-6368. Oh, wait, they might have something better to do than listen to the show on this New Year's Eve.
What would it be?
That's possible. I don't know. I can't imagine. But, you know, maybe getting your champagne ready or maybe making last-minute reservations somewhere. But
there's always that to do.
It is possible. That that they do have something better to do, you know.
Well, good for them. You know, it's a terrible to have nothing to do.
It is, that's for sure. Yeah. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. Tom, you were writing something about what was this piece that you had here about how restaurants have changed?
Restaurants
have changed since the 70s, and you were talking about why restaurants are always changing. Why are restaurants always changing? Because everything changes.
That's true. Everything changes, but sometimes...
Why should restaurants be any
they
different?
They don't change as much as you think they ought to. Because you give your perspective on it, and then it just sits there for a lot of people anyhow.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I remember you talking about your first introduction to restaurants back in the 70s when you were a student at UNO, and that Richard Collin was someone that Christopher turned you on to, and then you became sort of obsessed with him. He was like an icon to you, like a mentor.
Oh, he definitely was, and I told him that once. I said, you know, I've always seen you, because he was a history professor at UNO.
Yeah.
And he was doing the restaurant guidebooks on the side, although I think he made them really well with that. And I walked up to him once at UNO, and I said, you know, I'm glad I ran into you. And even though my grades in the classes I took with you did not come out particularly well, I will say that I would always give you credit for being it starts with an M.
Mentor?
Mentor. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm very honored that you would say that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else who was as powerful as that told me the same thing about 3 years later. It's just one of those things that you, when people tell you stuff like that, you know you must be doing something right.
Yeah.
So anyway, what we have here is the food show, and sitting over here is Mary Ann.
Yes.
And let's see. Well, that's it for the moment. You got anything else? No,
so
let's
anyway,
see. What else do we have going on?
So, Tom,
yeah?
Get back to your why restaurants are always changing.
Yeah, why are restaurants always changing? And it's in this case, my point was that up until that time, the late 70s, restaurants were doing either very down-to-earth seafood fried
it's like
restaurant.
Home cooking kind
home
of
home cooking,
stuff.
Exactly.
Yes.
There was that going on. And then there were the fancy restaurants where you had to wear a jacket and tie to even go into the dining room.
Which was still kind of home cooking. If you think about places like Antoine's,
yeah,
they had the same, quote, chef. It was really a cook.
Mm-hmm.
That was doing the same kind of recipes that have been in the restaurant since they opened in 1840.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like who, I think it was Kevin Kelly said something like he's not getting
he
any
would.
More chef. Yeah. No, yeah. it's like you give mm-hmm. him a recipe and, you know, quote, anyone can do it. So this whole chef as celebrity thing kind of started in the 80s, right?
I would say that it had made
late 70s,
a jump
early 80s.
To a different level, and here is what went on. It was the baby boomer generation who came on the scene in the 70s, really from the 60s through the 70s and into the 80s, and they were changing the way everybody was eating. Back then, it was either this or that, and after that, it wasn't anything anymore. A different approach to it, maybe. So,
well, you know, today in NoMenu.com, I was teeing off on millennials who have changed the
way
things.
I thought you really love those people.
The way things have changed with food delivery and the whole plant-based thing. And so what you're saying now is pretty much you are refuting what I said, which was that millennials are putting a whole different spin on everything, well, everything, period, but also the way we eat. And what you're saying now is that the baby boomers did the same thing. So how are those two things different?
Well, the baby boomer thing, this was seen throughout the entire society. This was not just strictly on that particular sale that was being made. And it was... It really did change the
well,
kinds of
things.
Well,
if I had to say that, I would say mm-hmm. that the baby boomers were demanding higher end, more sophisticated food, and the millennials are demanding convenience
mm-hmm.
and
mission
statement kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, like, one of them had to do with a lot of taste improvements, and the other one, taste is kind of down on the list. That seems to be. But both of them, you're saying, were incredibly influential in the evolution of cuisine.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one element to it that we haven't gotten into yet, but it's probably not necessary, and that is that there are styles of doing all of this. There was a time when if you were going to a restaurant, you were either going to this little casual thing that we were talking about or this really expensive, been around a long time sort of thing. And that's where it all kind of broke down sometime. But that's where the people who were going to develop everything else that will be following next generation. Uh-huh. And it has certainly played that way. And it's still coming that way, and I can't...
Well, it's always evolving.
Yeah,
everything's
yeah.
evolving.
Yeah.
But it's. I think the biggest difference is that one of them is about taste, and the other has nothing really to do with taste.
Could be, but
right?
If you don't do anything for taste, you're going to go out of business rather soon.
I don't know if that's true. That was the whole
no?
point of the piece. It's like
hmm.
it's like it, you know. We were talking about someone, Mary Lee and I, yesterday.
Mary Lee is our daughter.
Yes, and we were talking about. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. I'm not going to say who it was, but someone asked me where to take his wife, who had just turned 60 yesterday, and I suggested Dory's Metropolitan because I figured this would be a really
that would depend.
Glamorous, sexy kind of place to take someone. And so he looked at the website and he texted me back and he said, uh-huh. Are you crazy? Either you're crazy or I'm crazy, but there is no way I'm taking her there. Did you see those prices? And I said, but it's your wife's 60th birthday. And he texted me back, I don't care if it's her coronation. So Mary Lee and I were talking about that. And she said, you know, it's funny because he spends gobs of money on other things. And he does, in fact, spend gobs of money. And I said, well, you know, it's just really a matter of what is your priority list. What is the most important thing on your priority list? And so in his case, great restaurants are not something he's going to spend a lot of money on. Like our daughter makes these cakes that are exquisite works of art. They are. And when she starts to price them according to the slice, I go, are you crazy? This is a work of art. You don't go by slice. You go by the amount of time it takes you to create these hand-painted masterpieces. And, you know, she said, well, I don't know, Mom. People don't seem to want to pay that. And I go, you know, somebody will if it's worth it to them. So you spend money on what is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So your priority list is different depending on your makeup, your background, your history, your upbringing, all of these things. So millennials, I think, are focused on convenience, a virtual world, and things that don't really have anything to do with taste. That's their priority, whereas the boomers, taste was their priority. So it's just different. It's just a different list of things that are important between these two generations, I think. Anyway, it's all my right. Little philosophical.
Well, you know, it might.
Posit
it
of
might,
the day.
It might be a good idea right now to explain what exactly a millennial is.
Well, I think everybody knows that.
No, I don't think so, because really? I've used it in more than a few conversations, and there are a lot of people who say what. No, really. I mean, but it doesn't make a lot of sense, a lot of it. But a lot of people are diggly into it. I mean, really.
25 to 34, Tom. Yeah. That's the age group. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number if you would like to chat with us about, you know, the usual, just babbling
anything.
On about all kinds of stuff kind of vaguely related to food. It is New Year's Eve, so.
Who goes to a bar and then.
A Happy New Year to you. We will not be on tomorrow, so we can say Happy New Year.
All right.
Oh, Tom.
Yes.
People are going to start saying Happy New Year for real.
Why?
Remember how you had your Happy New Year thing that went on for a year, like a whole year? What was the longest that people were saying Happy New Year to you?
Remember your little Happy New Year thing? Well, yeah, that used to be in force, and the longest running way was. Actually, it went on for 5 years or something.
No, wait.
It was some.
It couldn't have gone on past a year because when you say Happy New Year after you've been saying it for a year, you're saying a different year.
Well,
so.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
But it did come back around.
I mean, I know people would say like I would do the show for you and it would be November and somebody would say Happy New Year and I'd say what?
Mm-hmm. There you
so
go.
So this was something that you carried on for a long, long time.
Okay, we're going to do that again starting now.
So. Oh, please no.
Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah.
Also, when we come back from the break, I want to mention something that we are also going to bring back on NoMenu.com.
Yeah.
Things that are near and dear to everyone's heart that have gone away, and I don't even know how or why, but we're going to bring them back in 2020, and we will be talking about that in a few minutes. 260-6368 is the number. Happy New Year. If you have any great plans, any great memories, any great meals, any funny and disastrous ones to report from 2019, we would love to have you join us. If you discovered something great culinarily in 2019, please give us a shout. If you remember a restaurant that closed that you were very sad about, I would like to hear about that as well, because I don't really remember too many restaurants of note that closed this year. 260-6368. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello, welcome back. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, claiming first place for at least a couple of minutes. And what we do is we talk about food and restaurants and cooking and all of that. And I thought that a couple of days ago, this phrase entered my brain and will not go away. And I'm glad it will not, because
Doug and I are sweating. Something. We're thinking it means Halifax and Halibut, or Halibut and Halifax.
No, I don't know what's going on over there today. But the but I do have a pretty good thought line about it. And that is, do you like restaurants? And if you do, to what degree do you like restaurants? Do you go all the time, or is this something you only do on a special occasion or anything like that? I have a feeling, and it keeps vacillating back and forth, and I can't seem to get a reading as to how long that these people who I'm talking to at the moment knew anything about getting out and going to restaurants.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And let's see how far this goes, because there's no doubt about it. There is some kind of change in the scene of dining out.
It's huge.
It is huge.
It is huge.
But it's not small either. And
exactly.
So my question is, and you can give it the simplest answer you care to, and that is, I really like restaurants. Or I think restaurants are too expensive anymore. Or they don't serve the kind of food I like anymore. Or is it something that does give you pleasure every couple of days, maybe every single day? Would you mind giving me your reading on that? Because it intrigues me, and a lot of people who are in the business, in the restaurant business, are fighting this without knowing exactly what the battle is all about. They just know that something feels a little warm, not so good as it used to be. Mm-hmm. So we have a half hour or so to go with the rest of the program. That's the perfect amount of time that we can spend on this. I wish you would, and we can kick it back and forth a little bit. And if you just open your mouth, that's good
enough
for me.
Do you like restaurants, Tom?
Oh, my restaurants. I love restaurants. It's my favorite thing to do.
It's your holy grail. When would you say, was it the Clarence and Lefty's thing that made you forever passionate about restaurants at the age
it
of
did.
Eight?
Yeah,
that was it.
More like
that was it.
Yeah, that was it. All right.
Now, but your family never ate out in restaurants because they didn't have the money to do that.
No,
so,
they didn't.
So after you had this experience at Clarence and Lefty's, how long was it before you were able to indulge this newfound passion?
Forever and ever, amen.
No, I mean...
Yes, yes, yes. What?
I understand that, Tom. I've been married to you for 30 years. What? What, Doug? Oh, thank heaven.
Let's finish off your paragraph here, and then we'll get right over
to... So, Tom, you were... however old you were, I know your parents didn't go to restaurants much. Mm-hmm. How long was it after this poor boy experience were you able to be in a restaurant again?
Yeah, during the next week that I was staying over at my aunt and uncle's house.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, okay.
And,
so you were visiting. Okay.
And they were going over somewhere. They took
I
me
see.
To the the first roast beef poor boy I ever had moved me so much that I've loved them ever since.
Yeah.
And my uncle.
Yeah. Tom, we have a caller, and I really would like to take that caller.
Sure.
We can reminisce again after the caller.
Right.
Hello.
You don't know how much it is. It's Helen. Helen, welcome to the food show.
Alan.
Oh, Alan. Excuse me. I apologize. Headphones
are... But Alan is ready to
Alan.
Forgive you, Tom. Happy New Year, Alan.
Hi, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you both.
Is it A-L-L-E-N or is it
Alan from Seattle, A-L-A-N.
Yeah, okay.
So I know that you're off today. When do you go back to school?
Next Monday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So what are your plans for New Year's Eve?
We are going to, because the weather's really kind of bad tonight. As a matter of fact, the festivities are held at the Seattle Center where the Space Needle is, and fireworks are going to go on about that area, I believe. But the wind may cancel that. They're still going to have a laser, some sort of a laser light show. That's still going to go on. But anyways, we're gonna be at home. We're gonna have a bottle of Prosecco.
Okay. Hmm.
That's an interesting thing to have hanging around.
Yeah, do you have a special menu tonight at the house, Alan?
Not really, actually. No. No, as far as we're going to be a little bit boring, I think. It's because
I think most people actually are. This is why I threw out that question. Have you ever had a New Year's that really blew your mind like you're supposed to? And I put that in quotes. And I think most people would say they didn't.
I think the most fun. And again, I'm not trying to be morose. The most fun I had New Year's Eve would be in the French Quarter.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh. So here in Seattle, not so much. But yeah.
Well, so, everything's kind of a party. Was your wife with you for that experience in the French Quarter?
Let's see, four, one or two. Yes. Well,
Okay. Well, good.
I mean, we were together for about 5 years before we moved up here.
Okay.
But we got a couple of New Year's Eves in there. You know, being a nurse, as it is right now, she's going to have to go to work tomorrow on New Year's Day.
Uh-huh.
So that puts a bit of a damper on things. But I'm going to shift gears now because I think I called too late yesterday. Chef Andrea was closing out your show.
Uh-huh.
So I told Doug I'll call back today. You mentioned why is halibut so thick?
Mm-hmm.
Well, halibut, it's the nature of the flake. It's the way the fish is. As opposed to say catfish, which is a thinner or a flounder or a pompano, you know, it's a thin flake fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, you can cut any size you want, but it's still going to remain. You still have to have that thickness. Otherwise, you're going to slice right into the flake of it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a piece of halibut? I know that they're always consistently an inch high, but have you ever seen a piece of halibut that is larger than, say, 2.5 inches square?
Yes.
You're not talking about the thickness. You're talking about how wide people usually get. Because I don't get it in a restaurant as often because it's so common here. We get cod, halibut, you know, from Alaska. I mean, in Seattle, it's as common as, I almost said like redfish, but I don't think redfish is that common anymore since never really recouped from Chef Paul days, I think. But I wanted to mention something about now. I'm really skipping around Chef Paul. You know, I think I mentioned I opened Mr. B's. I was one of the original waiters when Mr. B's Bistro opened, and Chef Paul was in the kitchen. And Marianne, you said he was kind of he was really big on frying, and yes, he did his share of frying. But now, let's not forget, he invented the blackened.
Yeah, the blackened, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he was back there. Now, they didn't have blackened fish on the menu. as he was about to open his own restaurant, and that's where he devised that. But, at Mr. B's, like Tom said earlier, it was all about smoke, and smoking over wood. You know, they had these wood ovens, wood fires. And I remember I'd come home after work, and my girlfriend said, "Gosh, are you sure you've been working? You smell like you've been to a campfire." And I said, "No, honey, you don't get it. It's Jeff Paul, but, you know, Mr. B's is all about wood fire, cooking on wood, you know, from wood."
Yeah, yep, it sure was.
So, so Tom, you're right. There were people, lines of people outside on Royal Street there to come in at the beginning, but then it tapered off. I can't remember why.
Because everybody gets used to something. If it's new, it's exciting. You want to be there, and then you go, "Okay, I've seen that. I'm moving on." We're a fickle bunch of people.
I think so. And Chef Paul, he was there for the opening, but he was not their chef. You know, he was still working for the Brennans as the executive chef over at Commander's. So he finished his work there and eventually just worked full-time at his new restaurant, or his restaurant, which was, of course, on Condi and Charters, I believe. On Charters, near Condi. But anyways, so I skipped from why halibut is so thick. As far as the width, you can get just, you can cut a small square of it, but you're not going to get it any thinner because of the fact that
I definitely understand that the flakes are an inch high and that you keep it, but what puzzles me about halibut is not how thick it is, because I see that the flakes are standing up and that, yes, you would mess everything up if you messed up with the flakes. It's that halibut always seems to be about 2.5 inches square and 1 inch thick, which I understand that part, but why not 4 inches by 6 inches? I don't understand that. That's my question.
I don't think there's an
answer
to that.
Every piece of halibut I've ever seen has been that big.
And
what do you get out of it? Well, when you order it in a restaurant, that's typically the size, Marianne, I think that you're speaking of. But when I go to my fish market, I can get any size I want.
You can, okay.
Yeah, I usually get a couple. I just say, "Give me two fillets, you know, about a pound and a half worth or whatever." And the guy cuts it, and it's, you know, about that size. But in restaurants, it's going to be about, you know, kind of a uniform piece, which is, like you say, kind of like a...
There you go.
two by three or
That's
something.
That's right, Doug.
Yeah. 2 by 2. But,
right. Doug said so, portion control. Yeah, that's obviously it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right,
and,
Alan.
Hey, again, Happy New Year.
You too, keep on having it, because it's nowhere near to being
have
over.
Have a wonderful evening. Enjoy your Prosecco and your quiet evening at home with your wife before she heads off to work.
Will do. Thank you
Bye,
so much.
Bye, Alan. Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year. Bye. 260-6368 is the number. We'll take a break and be right back. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
That's us, all right. Welcome back. This is the food show. We talk about eating. That's it.
This is the last 20 minutes of the food show 2019.
Are we going to hear a lot of that? If so, I hope so.
Yes. Yeah, so if you have something to say to us in 2019, you have 20 minutes to get it in. 260-6368.
And then who knows? It could be brilliant.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
260-6368.
What about from us? Could it be brilliant from us, Doug?
Oh, sure. We can take them anywhere we find them. You know, this is just the way it is.
We've been looking for all kinds of things having to do with 2019. Your favorite culinary experience that you remember. Favorite restaurant you discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite food you might have discovered. Saddest restaurant closure.
Yeah, share it with us,
favorite of yours.
And
what you're doing tonight,
Good question.
Memories of New Year's past that you wanted to share. Do you remember when we were invited to the Brennan's? Was it at Commander's?
Commander's Palace was one of them.
Yeah, it was one New Year's Eve that we were at Commander's
Palace. Yeah, oh, I do remember,
do you remember that.
That was a wonderful evening,
yeah.
And what a party that was. You couldn't have gotten in there without friends.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we had the friends, and Mr. Dick is gone, but it was nice having him around. I was just thinking about him this morning.
Yeah?
Yep.
I remember thinking, first question, what am I going to wear? Second mm-hmm. question, who's going to watch the kids? Those were the big questions I had for getting out that New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice, though. I'm glad that we went.
Good.
It was probably the only...
thing you...
it was probably the only New Year's Eve party that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
It was certainly a glamorous affair. It was black tie.
That's
so
always
it was certainly
nice.
The only one like that. But we have a caller.
Gregory is here, or so I'm told.
Gregory, Happy New Year.
Welcome.
Hey, Happy New Year to both of you guys. I'm wishing you all the best coming up.
It wouldn't be the same without you in the last 20 minutes of 2019.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. No, I figured I'd slide myself in here. What are you guys going to do this evening?
I haven't the foggiest.
We're going to have an evening more boring than Alan's.
Oh, yeah. No, that was mean to him.
No, he said it himself. What,
hey,
Gregory?
Hey, well, hey, there's nothing wrong with a bottle of Prosecco and spending it with his wife. I mean, that's good. We're only going to have about 10 people are coming by, and that's about it, you know. But I'm not going out or anything. I'm just going to sit here. I mean, the weather is just terrific, you know. I got the grill on, so, and just going to have a little bubbly and some canapes, and then I'm going to do a turn of dough and some garlic roasted potatoes,
nice.
Grilled asparagus.
Well, if you're on the North Shore, you're going to hear a lot of fireworks.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
And there are some people, I think she might be sitting next to us, who found something that is really pretty amazing. You go out into the middle of the causeway, and you pull off to one side, and then you can watch all of the fireworks going on in the middle of the city.
You know,
important
I thought of that
statement,
before, but
don't
do
go with
not
Tom.
Do that under
don't
any circumstances
that.
Because
know.
It's against the law, and it's, and you're going to kill yourself. So
if you
don't
are going to do that,
that,
don't do it with Tom.
No, don't
I
do
won't
it with
be
Tom.
Anywhere
but
near
Tom
there.
Was yammering in my ear the entire time.
I guess you could fake a flat tire, like let the air out of your tire and go to one of the crossovers, and pretend like you're changing your tire. You
there
know?
You go. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
That's right.
But no, I wouldn't recommend that either.
No. Just for people who take everything too literally,
don't do that.
Don't even think about it.
I like to spend as little time on that bridge as possible. My 21-minute transit, it's just perfect for me. Get me on, get
That's
me
it.
Off that thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that bridge, but, you know, hey, you know, it's life. Anyway,
it's life.
You guys went to the, I heard earlier, y'all went to Krabby Shack today?
Yeah.
Boy, I do love that place. And
It's a great bargain. The quality of their food is really good. And about the only thing that's a little off is that their service is a little slow, but I think that's because it's so
small.
They're
very busy.
They're very busy.
Time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it gets jumpy. I haven't been there in a couple of months, but it's a place that my stepmother and my dad adore because it's mm-hmm. you know, very close to Beauchamp. You know, they just take 22 right down, and then, you know, there it is in Manassas.
Yeah. So
that's a famous – that's in my Parthenon of good red beans and rice spots on Mondays. He puts out a delicious dish of that, and you know what, all the little, you know, choices you can get on the side, you know, as far as chicken or fish or mm-hmm. whatever. So, well, anyway, I just thought I'd chime in and really wish you guys a Happy New Year because, you know, I'm just hoping that next year is going to be just as good as the last, I mean, for me anyway, and I hope it will be for you guys.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. That's very nice of you
to
bring
you
up and see you around.
Take care.
It's the food
Bye-bye.
Show.
Happy New Year.
It's not over yet. We're just we're heading towards the most important festival of the year, really. And we'd love to have you be part of it. 260-6368.
I don't know if anybody else was struck by just how fast this year went. It seems to me that we were ringing in 2019 yesterday, and the year just was a blur.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
It was a blur. We took a great trip this year.
Yep, you did?
Yeah, you did too.
I did?
Uh-huh.
What did we do?
We went on the Orient Express.
Oh, brother, you had to bring that up.
The Orient Express. So, you know what? I'm going to do something very bucket listish tomorrow. So that would have been the second thing that I did that's bucket listish in a year. Because that was on my bucket list, too, going on the Orient Express. It was tremendously expensive and had nothing to do with money. But, yes, we did do that this year.
I kept trying.
That's all Tom has to say about it. What?
I keep trying to figure out ways to write about that without making it seem completely ridiculous. And that's what it wound up being like to me. But now it's in my pocket. And
yeah, that was your final train trip.
Looks like it.
It was supposed to be anyway. Yeah. That's how it was billed. But you know. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. I'm trying to think of any other memorable New Year's Eve that I had, and that's it. Gosh, I lead a boring life. I only had three that I can really remember.
I don't know. It's not one of my favorite festivities because there are so many people there, and it's very difficult to get served. So if you want to, go out and eat and enjoy, and the whole restaurant thing, that's not the day to do it. It's because you're not getting the food and service that you ordinarily would. And there's nothing ordinary about what they do at Commander's Palace.
Has anyone gone to a specific place envisioning the absolute incredible memory of ringing in the new year? Like you see these, you know, these pictures of the Sydney Harbor and I guess New Year's in New York would also fit into this. But I remember that we as a family, the four of us in 2000, this was in your period where you were talking about 2001 and trying to convince everyone that the millennium had already happened.
Or one of those things.
Yeah. Anyway, we were in New York City when 2000 turned into 2001.
Never forget that.
Yeah. We weren't actually in New York. We were in New York and D.C. that year. And I remember that was the year that the Twin Towers fell. And we have a picture of us in the river, not literally in the river, but on a boat in the river with the Twin Towers behind us. And they were gone 7 or 8 months later. But I remember that trip. Do you remember that trip, Tom? When we went to, what was that, Churrascaria the first time?
The Churrascaria
Plataforma. I think we also went to Patsy's.
Oh, that was in New York City.
Did we go to Patsy's on that trip as well?
I don't think so. Anyway, we went to Patsy's twice.
Yeah, that's when we discovered the Hudson Hotel, which was a very unlike us place for us
too
to
hip.
Be. It was bizarre.
Too hip.
But anyway, it's one of those places where the chair could bite you, you know? So we were there, but we wound up leaving New York City before New Year's and staying in D.C. at my sister's house for New Year's Eve. And so we left a potentially mind-blowing, probably annoying, but nevertheless something you hear about, a mythical sort of New Year's Eve, for one in my sister's den where everyone fell asleep like bowling pins scattered. And that was in the days when I used to listen to you, Tom, because you didn't want to stay in New York. But that was how we rang in 2001. Instead of being in New York, where we were the day before, we were in D.C. So I have never done New York City.
It's a one of a kind.
Bringing in the new year there. I've never done that. And now I feel like, you know, I wouldn't want to do it because it's something that you do if you don't mind intense crowds and you're 22 years old, you know. So I don't know that that would be something that would even appeal to me now. But I've not done that. I've not seen any amazing fireworks. We did have one New Year's Eve here at the Coolwater Ranch where the fireworks that were set off by the kid across the pond actually started a fire the next day. Do you remember that?
No. Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. We would call it. Yeah. And so we had, you know, we used to sit out on the meadow and watch pretty intense fireworks displays there. I've watched a lot of intense fireworks displays in my life, but they've been mostly at the hands of amateurs, and that's probably not a very good thing. Anyway, 260-6368, we're doing remembrances of New Year's Eve in the past. If you have any, please share them. And also, we'd love to visit with you this last 10 minutes of 2019. And I feel like it's been a rather eventful year, certainly on this show. Yeah. When you started this show in 2019, you were solo, Tom. And somewhere in there, I jumped into the sidecar, and we've been doing this together for, what, 7 or 8 months now?
7 or 8 months.
Seems like only.
Who put you that in your ear?
Seems like only, only minutes, huh? I know it does to Doug too, for sure. Anyway, New Year's Eve. That's what we're talking about. Great food that you might have discovered. Anything that you're planning to do that's very special.
And the orchestras sometimes were good too.
I wonder what at the Blue Room.
Anywhere we found them.
Yeah. That's true. It's,
yeah, I'm always looking.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone has
recordings of
not planned their New Year's yet.
Well, you're in trouble.
You're getting rather close to when you need to do that.
If you're looking to go out anywhere,
let me see if I can conjure up that menu from the Silk Road. The Silk Road called and said that they have a $35 prefix menu. It's 4 courses. This sounds like a really good deal. It's not Indian. There are a couple of Indian flavors in their gumbo and other scattered dishes, but it sounds like a pretty straight New Orleans kind of menu. And if you are still looking for a place to go, that would be someplace really cool. I think it's in the Marigny, which is, you know, someplace that you could be close enough to watch the fireworks on the river. You could walk up to the levee. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people doing that.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be cold, though.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be
looks
cold
like it, anyway.
Out there tonight. Yeah. That's for sure. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. What else do we have for New Year's? I discovered La Bruyere Champagne, which we're not going to be drinking tonight. But I do hope you can go find us a good one, Tom, because I would like to ring out 2019 and ring in a new decade, 2020, and have it be a really great champagne because I want it to be a really great year.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. So it's going to be your charge to find that when we disperse after the show at 5 o'clock. I'm actually also getting a little bit hungry, so I don't know if we're going to
Boy, that's quick.
Go someplace.
You just had lunch about
anything.
2 hours ago.
I had lunch at noon, so I'm getting a little bit hungry. And we were going to cook tonight, but did not make it to the store. So I guess maybe I'll just do, you know, some little appetizers. Do you remember that New Year's Eve? This was another nice New Year's that we had. Mary Lee had just been born. So this would have been New Year's Eve of 93 because she was an infant. Well, I mean, she wasn't that much of an infant. She would have been 6 months old. And I remember making puff pastry. They were phyllo dough mushroom appetizers.
I remember those.
And we popped a bottle of rosé champagne that we were given by, I guess, maybe Dick Brennan even on her birth. The year of her birth.
They remember that very well over at Commander's, the story you're about to tell, which is quite a story.
Yeah, that was quite a story. You go ahead and tell it. I'm going to go see about this menu that I'm going to look for.
Basically,
Mary Lee was born.
What happened? She was at the hospital. The delivery was underway, and there was from I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant because it's just too funny not to play this, but the obstetrician who was going to deliver had, let's just say, a problem, and it was
Dick Brennan always, as a tradition, would send a dinner to someone he knew who had just had a baby,
and it caught on fire.
Wait, that sounds way worse than it was, Tom.
Oh, okay. Well,
that sounds way worse than it was. He had the heat right by a sensor. It didn't catch on fire. It was by a sensor.
Okay. Well, I remember.
And it set off the fire alarm.
Yeah.
And when you and Jude came to visit me in the hospital, you were greeted by firemen running down the hall.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
It was scary.
Yeah, that's what happened. But but I knew the pediatric nurse on duty. I had grown up with her. And she walked in, and she was curious to see whose room it was. And when she saw me, she started laughing, and she said, "That is perfect. That could only be you." Anyway, we had a bottle of rosé that we were given as part of that dinner, and we saved it and opened it on the New Year's Eve of 93, and that was another one of those memorable ones. I guess I could continue to think of ones that did make an impression, but for the most part, they're nondescript, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true of most people. I think most people do not have the incredible, mind-blowing New Year's Eve that you're, quote, mm-hmm, supposed to mm-hmm have.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, getting back to that hospital issue. The apparently the waiters and other staffers over at Commander's Palace, after all these years, they still remember that.
Well, it was kind of a memorable thing.
I'm sure the people
at work at the hospital also remember that. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely that was quite an interesting.
I'll say.
That was quite an interesting birth. I almost had her on the causeway. She was a call birth. I met Peter Jenkins while I was in labor. I almost had her at New Orleans Hamburger on Veterans. It was quite a memorable birth, I have to say. And she's quite a memorable young lady, so it kind of works.
I certainly would hope so. She really was. That was just astonishing.
She's quite special, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to know how to even talk about something like that. That's one of those things.
It's a very special thing. All right, so I'm going to get to this menu real quick because I told him I would run through this really quick. This is the Silk Road menu.
Mm-hmm.
It's samosas, first course, chicken andouille gumbo, or lemongrass, I can't even pronounce that, spinach and goat cheese salad. You can choose from that. The second course is sesame-crusted salmon, a Thai red curry chicken, a seared duck breast or pan-seared black drum with a meunière sauce. And I do not know sang paneer. I guess that is that's part
paneer,
of the black
paneer
drum.
Paneer is made with that's the in-house made cheese that
they make. Yeah, it's cheese, yeah. Okay, and then for dessert, white chocolate mango cheesecake or a flourless chocolate cake. That is at Silk Road if you're still looking for a place for New Year's Eve. 5 to 10, you do have to clear out of there and go watch the fireworks on the river, but that's kind of what you would do anyway.
Yeah.
So it's been a most interesting year, 2019, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who has steadfastly listened to this show, to all the people who have called it and made it more fun than it would otherwise be, to Doug, who has taken very good care of us, even though he yells at me a lot, and everyone. And so I hope you have a wonderful
dinner. And me too, and to you too.
Dinner.
And
yes,
that's
thank
our
you, Tom,
show.
For hanging
it's always
in there.
A pleasure, and
yes.
We'll pick
Happy
it up
New
where
Year,
we left
everyone.
Happy New Year. Happy everything, too.
WWL 105.3 FM, HD2. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.